Hello, lovely ones. Welcome back to Unraveling. It's been a while. So the podcast has been on pause, shall we say, while I land from the birth of my second daughter, which was the end of December 2022. And I looked back and the last podcast episode I recorded and shared was on December the 6th, 2022. And it was all around the messy truth of my second pregnancy. And wow, I have a lot I could share about the past 14 and a half months. However, today I am landing back into the podcast with a beautiful episode with my dear friend Lindsay Caldor, who I have only known for less than a year really, but she has become a really really treasured and cherished connection that I have made through my writing on Substack. Before I go on and share the interview with Lindsay, I just wanted to I have so much to share. If you've listened, this is the first time you're listening to Unraveling, then welcome. This podcast has been going for several years now. I birthed it back in 2018. And it has had many iterations or many phases and cycles, and it journeys with me, to be honest, and that's why it's always been a constant unraveling as I personally unravel in many different ways and remove layers. And this podcast has always been about remembering our truth and reconnecting to ourselves and just having really honest, open-hearted conversations that support, inspire, soothe, provide wisdom, and just generally are an enjoyable experience to listen, giving you things to reflect on and giving you things to contemplate and maybe having the odd little aha moment or it finding something that just sparks something in your soul or just connects you with this feeling of gathering with others who get the journey you're on or who have some kind of kindred connection. So this podcast has always just stayed true to that purity and the essence of whatever expression is waiting to come through. So it is a representation of me, an extension of my creations here on this earth. So it brings a bit of earth, a bit of groundedness, a bit of sacred structure and real life human experience together with the sky, the mystery, the magic, the unseen, bringing those two together. And I hope that this episode and any other episodes that you listen to support you in some way. If you have been a regular listener to Unraveling, then welcome back. I'm so honoured to share this space with you again, and it really, truly is a joy. It has been on my heart to resurrect Unraveling for, since Vesper was born, to be perfectly honest, but the time, the space, the energy has just not been there. And over the coming months, I will be sharing way more about the journey of life with two daughters. But for now, I wanted to bring this conversation with Lindsay to you to share her magic. We met on Substack under a year ago now at the time of recording, through our shared experiences in early years of motherhood with two children, through our writing, through this sort of creative spark that both of us had, through writing around the edges of motherhood. And in today's episode, we talk a lot about that. We talk about seasons. Lindsay's work is very rooted in seasonal living, in ritual, in sacredness, in beauty, in weaving together mythology and magic and the like knowledge and history and wisdom together with this intangible like magic sprinkling of stardust. When I read her words, I feel soothed. I feel sort of like it's almost like a lullaby when I read her words. There's just a lovely poetic cadence to the way she expresses herself, and her words on Substack and wherever she's sharing her writing are just beautiful. And we are collaborating on a project to bring some in-person gatherings to our communities, and there we do share more about that at the end of the episode. So Lindsay is a mother, a creative, a storyteller with a background in interiors PR. Telling stories about spaces and the people who make them was at the heart of her role, and this fostered her interest in the details of making a home and the part that our surroundings play in the way that we feel. Now she is a mother. She is creating a home as a foundation to nurture, a conduit for creativity, and an anchor to her surroundings as the seasons turn in her corner of the world. I will leave my words here and bring this episode to you. Thank you so much for sharing, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome to Unraveling. This feels extremely exciting, being the first episode back since I don't even remember when, so it's been a while. I would love, love, love to start our conversation by just hearing where you are currently at in this season of life, and a little bit about your journey to get to this point today, whatever feels most alive for you.
Lovely. Okay. Thank you very much for having me. And I am honoured to be the first interviewee back for a long time. And yeah, where I'm at right now, I actually have been thinking about and wrote something about recently, this kind of concept of winter spring, and how every year when spring comes around, I find it takes a really long time to kind of get going. And there's a little bit of kind of frustration within that. I feel like when I'm in winter, I kind of know where I am and I can hunker down and that sort of thing. And now we're kind of edging towards spring or very close. There's that back and forth of, you know, a bit of sunshine and then going back into kind of hibernation when it gets cold again and raining and all of that sort of thing. And I feel very much that represents where I'm at in life as well at the moment. And I know we've discussed before how the last few years of kind of early motherhood have felt very much like winter in our lives, not in a bad way, but in kind of like a cocoon of hibernation where there's been lots of kind of magic and transformation happening, but yeah, very inwardly. And I felt very much like that. But now my children are 4 and 2 and are doing a little bit more time in nursery. I am feeling that kind of like transition between possible emergence, but then sometimes hastily retreating back in inside again. So yes, that's kind of where I'm at the moment. And then in general, I am Lindsay. I am a mother of 2 children. My daughter was born just before the COVID pandemic. So I feel like that's even kind of more so created that feeling of hibernation, because we really didn't go out for, you know, a year or two even properly. And then had my son in January of 2022. So they're both winter babies, another kind of strand of the winter hibernation element to my life. And I'm just kind of having had a career previously in PR, which was in very much in the creative design and art sector, kind of weaving that creativity back into my life and how that manifests alongside the demands of motherhood.
Ah, I love all of that, and hearing there's so many kind of sparks of resonance through many of what you say, and I think that's why we've connected. And what a I really, really relate to that winter spring feeling. And I actually, when I reflect back in my menstrual cycle, I've always found that that shift from winter to spring, that kind of void space in between, really difficult. And I find exactly the same every year when it comes to spring. I feel this like discombobulated feeling of like, where am I? Where is my body? Where is my like soul? Like, I feel completely detached until we fully land in the season. And I think maybe we just need to talk about that a bit more.
Yeah, I agree. And I when I was thinking about it, I realized that this kind of shift between winter and spring, whether it's internal or around us, is kind of the biggest energy shift, because the shift from spring to summer is really just kind of a consolidation and maintaining of what's already in place. And then obviously summer to autumn is more of a fading and a kind of turning inwards again, which doesn't take as much energy. And then autumn to winter is really kind of that slowing the movement into stillness. So it's really just this winter to spring that kind of requires a huge shift, really, from dormancy and rest to actually have, although obviously things are happening under the surface all the time, kind of, yeah, an actual kind of energetic shift is really required in this phase, I think. And that can be tricky, I think. And we can put pressure on ourselves as well. But I think if we can, it's easier said than done, but kind of rest in that in between liminal space, there can be kind of, some magic there as well, I think. I feel
Absolutely.
the same. I feel the
Yeah.
same.
Yeah, it's that kind of abrupt, it feels the most abrupt transition, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
How I'm curious to hear your perspective of how that you relate that in terms of motherhood, because I don't know about you, but I felt since the moment I fell pregnant with Sophia, my first, who's now 4 and a half, I feel like I've been in that winter, but also in that winter spring dance. Because there was that kind of, I felt like I was emerging, and then I was pregnant with Vesper and went like back into winter. And then now, knowing that Vesper will be my last baby, like now it feels like, okay, I can actually fully step into the next season. But I think there's like a tendency to want to rush that process. And I still don't feel like 100% ready to like, I mean, I physically can't, because of the space, the time and the space element of things. But I'm really curious to hear your reflections of how motherhood and seas like how you've merged those seasonal perspectives with your mothering and with the phases of motherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel, yeah, very much relate to what you're saying. And I feel that even kind of more so the winter phase probably even started before I was pregnant. It was kind of a phase that I needed to kind of get back into connection with my body after being kind of drawn out of myself for a number of years. And I kind of consciously decided that I needed to slow down and to nurture myself rather than spreading myself too thinly. And that was kind of a process a year or two before becoming pregnant that really started that kind of wintering, I suppose, where I wasn't so kind of maybe visible and kind of drawn to these kind of external ways of being validated, but more just kind of listening to myself, maybe putting some boundaries in place with what I was able to do or wanted to do. And then, yeah, that continued into pregnancy, which was really interesting, where I'd been very active in terms of physical activity before in yoga and exercise and things. I just craved stillness. And I wonder if that was because so much was going on kind of inside that I needed to just be still. And even pregnancy yoga, which thankfully is very, very still and calming, yeah, that was kind of like, a big effort to get my head around doing that. So mostly I was still, to be honest, I just honored what my body felt that it needed. And then yes, the early stages of motherhood have been very much inward, and obviously nurturing the small tiny little thing that needs you. And that was a whole other kind of shift that I didn't realize quite. I think my first baby was extremely kind of in need of nurturing and just help to adjust to the life outside, which I hadn't really imagined. I mean, the way that we're kind of presented motherhood and our babies as being quite separate from us, actually, and that really was not the case. And I, obviously came to know about the fourth trimester, and I feel like the fourth trimester went on for about a year, where she didn't know she was separate from me and needed constant contact. And I learned a lot, just about the kind of relationship between mother and child, and then obviously a lot about myself as well. And then, as you said, about kind of those glimmers of emergence, I definitely had that as well when my daughter was over a year or so, but then was pregnant again, and my son was born just 2 years after my daughter. So there was a very short-lived kind of glimmer of emergence before I realized that there was not really much point in kind of putting myself out there again, because I would need to be, and I kind of knew from that first experience how much of me was going to be needed, and that's what I wanted to give as well. So yes, so it's only really now that I am feeling tentatively kind of ready to emerge, and I'm also really aware though that so much can bring us back. And as you say, with just kind of in terms of space and time, I currently have 3 mornings, which is not really kind of, it's amazing and it's a lot more than I have been used to, but there's so much I want to fit into it. And also just knowing, with different developments for the children, that they need us more at different times. I know both of us have got on our horizon though that our oldest daughters are going to school in September, so that's a whole other shift that I need to get my head around. But that as well will obviously create more space, but also having the younger one still needing us and physically with us a lot of the time too. So yeah, it's a dance, as you say.
It really is a dance. Yeah, I definitely relate a lot, and I think oh God, there's so many threads that I want to like dive down with you. But one of the things that was kind of coming up when you were speaking was this honoring the unexpected, I guess, of motherhood. Because for me, my first was, in comparison to my second, straightforward, a lot more like fitted into a lot more of the more, society's ideals of schedules and sleeping and, the things that we're sort of told is, what motherhood's about. And yes, it was, I still found it was like a massive initiation. But it hasn't been until my second that I feel like I really have like met the truth of having to soften to all expectations and let go of any expectations. And something that like that's something that's not talked about very much, I don't think. And how that I guess what I want to kind of segue that into is how that those challenges and the difference in the expectations that we have versus the reality, like how that then impacts our creativity and our desire to be, to make things in our life and to do things and to be in our spring and come out into those like more, I don't know, the more vibrant seasons of life, shall we say, versus being just like plummeted back constantly into winter. Yeah, I'd love just to hear your
Yeah,
Sorry,
absolutely.
all of that ramble.
Yeah, no, not ramble at all. Yeah, no, it is interesting, and I think maybe in some ways more difficult to have that experience second time for you. And yes, it was for me, I didn't have anything to compare it to. Also being within the pandemic, I wasn't, really out and about to kind of see other children and other babies, which is probably a good thing. And actually, that was good in terms of cocooning and just knowing that all she needed was me. And so that's what, and my husband, of course, but well, that's all we had really for a long time. But it was so consuming that I found creativity kind of, a need for it, or a kind of urge, but not being able to fulfill it at all. I even found reading, and only really recently have I come back to it, really demanding. Like I couldn't focus really on a story or a thread or whatever. And I read or I actually read this quite early on, that when your kind of nervous system isn't or if you're kind of in demand and being needed a lot of the time, and your nervous system isn't completely regulated, then it's very hard to lose yourself in something else. So I feel like that was maybe a part of it, that I was kind of so on all the time, ready to respond to a baby that needed me a lot, that I wasn't able to kind of relax into anything else. And I think that probably was the case in terms of creativity generally. It took a while to kind of find a place where I felt like I was finding my feet again. And actually, creativity in that way, really, I just kind of had to bring into everyday life in a way, in very, very small ways, whether it was just kind of noticing things, and taking the time to make something feel special, whether it was lighting a candle or, just taking time over certain daily rituals that kind of fed me at that point. And I did kind of early on ish kind of in that time find that I was wanting to channel all of this kind of all of the thoughts and ideas and everything that I had not expected in some way, and record it. I found also impossible to journal at that time. I felt so consumed with, I just couldn't find the words. And so, I kind of regret that in some ways, but also know that it just wasn't possible at the time. So I hope that now I'm slowly finding the words to make sense of it all, really. And as you said as well about the kind of the two different children, I feel like obviously, oh, we know they kind of all bring their own lessons. And I feel like my daughter was really kind of a, or has, continues to be a learning in kind of being pulled out of myself by her and what she needs from me. And then also kind of going deep in within and softening, as you said as well, to kind of be able to provide that. And that's obviously led me to kind of face lots of my own things as well. And then my son has generally been a more physical experience, and continues to be. And I just feel that he stretches, continues to stretch me. And I think also just that, that fact of having a second child does not just slot in to what you think, which you should have learned first time round probably, but is a whole other entity in themselves. And I think I find that kind of constant stretching and division of self, how you're always divided, although it's everything's doubled, and the love is there's enough and more for both of them. I do find that I'm stretched so kind of far with him, and just that having the two of them. But I have found now that having this time, I am able to channel this creativity a lot more, and the fact that he's now happy to be in some form of childcare as well. So yeah, it's kind of a mixture of kind of weaving in between the margins and pockets of time that I have, kind of just the everyday life stuff, finding the space when someone's asleep or whatever to write a few things, and then actually having the actual space itself now as well. So I feel like there's kind of different layers.
I love all of that. I mean, there's no shortage for me, there's like no shortage of ideas, and there never really has been, but the actual sometimes either the space or even the energy or the time, like knowing it's the right time to bring things to life, as I've had to really lean into that, because as someone who has like their whole life just had an idea and just made it happen, that has been both really difficult, but also it's forced me into being really discerning with those ideas as well, because I just have one of I'm one of those people that gets ideas constantly. Like I could probably create a new business every day if given the space. But actually that doesn't mean I'm supposed to. It doesn't mean I should. It just means I have a lot of ideas flowing through me. And being a mum has kind of forced me into pausing and not acting too fast. So there's a really positive side to that, but also it can be extremely hard and uncomfortable to be sitting with this like urge to create or write or bring something to life and just not being able to do it. And I definitely have had to work really hard at sort of acceptance around that. And yeah, I suppose almost also work with the resentment that sometimes has bubbled up. Not towards the children, more maybe perhaps towards society in general and the holding that we receive as mothers, which could take me in a massive spiral of conversation. But also, yeah, just I'll be honest, sometimes towards my husband being able to have those pockets of time, like bigger stretches of time, because there is nothing that beats like getting into creative flow, is there? It's like it fuels me. So to not have those times has at times been a real learning curve. It's definitely been a dance.
Absolutely. And I think always knowing that you could be interrupted at any given moment really does obviously inhibit the creative flow. And my pockets of time go so quickly when it's the morning, and then it's all of a sudden time to pick up, and it's a whole different mode. But yeah, no, I completely resonate with that. And I think that was one of my earliest kind of learnings, was the just sitting with what is, and not being able to do the things that I wanted to do, knowing that a time would come at some point. And really softening to that. But yeah, and the patience, all of that was huge. And it was such a shift from kind of just being kind of doing all the time to actually just having to sit and be. And even and all the doing that we are doing within motherhood is often kind of, holding as well. And it's the rocking and the feeding and all of that stuff where you can't actually do anything else. Which is a challenge.
Yeah, and actually what's supported me the most through those times is that connection with seasons, because the seasons continue. Like there's a continual cycle. There's not an end point. It's not like if I come to winter, then I'm never going to get to spring. Like spring is going to come. It's just maybe not as quickly as I'd like it. So whenever I've felt that frustration, or I've felt myself drop into some form of comparison around, someone else is doing something that I really want to do, and connecting to that sense of, okay, this is really useful information to show me that this is something that's important to me, but also my season will come, like my season will come, spring will come round, summer will come round. It does. That is how seasons work. So knowing, and it might look slightly different, like I have different responsibilities, but that seasonal piece has been such a holding for me.
No, I love that. I completely agree. And I see that so much within the creativity and how we need each part of the cycle, like, you know, each part of the seasons are so important. And kind of the more I go into that, the more I can see that for sure. Whereas previously, I just hated winter. I dreaded it. I couldn't stand the fact that I had to get on a tube underground, go into an underground office, not see light at all. And then I just kind of really, really just did not like it. Whereas now I feel much more kind of, I don't know, I've softened to why we need winter. And I find kind of relief and a release of pressure there. And kind of comfort, and, you know, although it's not easy, and, you know, it's just a whole different experience, I think, if you soften to the seasons. And I think also the fact that motherhood or parenting is a blur a lot of the time, where, as they say, and it's so true, the days are very long at times, but the years go by. And I find that kind of living seasonally allows me to kind of pick out when things are happening, and memories are very, very often tied to what was going on outside, whether it was like a beautiful day that I was walking in the woods and da, 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 and, you know, what flowers are around. And I really have found that to be an anchoring point and point of orientation, whereas otherwise the days kind of blur together and they're so filled with a million different things, but a lot of the same things, that it is the seasons that really kind of anchor me for sure. I don't know if you found that as well.
Yeah, I really love that. And what was sort of coming up for me then was, like, even though I have resistance at times to a lot of the you know, the sort, especially winter particularly, I mean, I'm just thinking of the fact you can't avoid facing winter with children because you have to dress them in a million clothes, deal with the whining when they're cold, when they refuse to wear gloves and a hat, but, you know, don't listen to the fact they need to wear gloves and a hat. Mm-hmm. And there's like mud and like everything's filthy and it's hard. It's like, it's harder season to be in. That tougher time, like, it does build resilience and it does have its place. And I feel like what you said about just you know, you kind of, it always a blur, and actually, yeah, the same thing, you're still getting up, making breakfast, getting them dressed, getting them, trying to get them out of the house, battling with the same things day in, day out, and it can feel so utterly monotonous at times. And it is, you know, we're doing the same thing pretty much every day. But I love the fact that you're saying, like, yeah, but you can then relate it to the flowers that you noticed, or the fact that, you know, the first day that you put the washing out, like all of the many clothes you've washed out on the line for the first time. And those little anchor points, they do give you a sense of, embodiment, I think. And like, honoring ourselves as these cyclical seasonal beings rather than trying to be the same all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think as women, obviously, that kind of resonates deeply within our bodies and the way that we operate best, and kind of trying to be on all the time is just not how we're supposed to function. And I think as well, kind of when you kind of do relate life and just everyday life to the seasons, and it kind of also links back to how people have been doing this for, you know, centuries, millennia, and I like that kind of thought as well, and as well as actually passing it on to our children. And I, you know, there's no greater joy than when they kind of point out magnolia to me that I've obviously said to them quite a few times, or, you know, the daffodils. My daughter was so excited this morning at nursery outside. They've got some daffodils and things, and some snowdrops had come out, and I don't know what snowdrops these are, because most of the snowdrops I think have faded, long faded. So I think these are a different type. Anyway, I need to look into it. But she was so excited, and it was lovely to see. So yeah, it does seem to kind of imbue like all aspects of life, from like the daily monotony to actually finding the magic in all of that.
I think it's so beautiful to be learning this for ourselves, but then also being able to bring it into our children as well. I mean, just Sophia the other day, someone offered her strawberries and she was like, strawberries aren't in season. And I was like, oh, I mean,
Brilliant.
yeah, obviously we can buy strawberries in the
Yeah.
supermarket anytime, but I just was like, oh,
Amazing.
okay, that feels really, I don't know, heartening to know that she
Yeah.
is growing up, and whether she remembers it or not, I don't know. But noticing flowers, and I'm not an expert in flowers, but I, know the obvious ones, and I will always point them out. And she sees things and points them out when I would not necessarily notice them. And that has been one of the biggest gifts, is like her curiosity. And even now, Vesper already is like looking up at the sky in the dark and will be like, meh, for the moon.
Oh,
And it's like things like that.
very
And I just love
special.
that they're both, I mean, one of my biggest hopes and wishes is that I can continue that sense of
Yeah.
like wonder in the outside world between now and
Absolutely.
as they
Yeah.
grow.
Absolutely. And I think just having the appreciation as well for each season, because I feel like, yeah, I feel like I read somewhere, or I have noticed as well, that children, or I don't remember as a child having a resistance to the seasons, and you kind of just adapt to it, and kind of, I don't know if you sort of just know that everything is necessary and required, and it's only kind of, this messaging from society about January being blue and, depressing and all of that sort of thing, that actually that becomes part of our psyche, and I don't think that necessarily needs to be the case. So hopefully we continue to pass the message on about everything being necessary, and the rest and the blossoming and all of the in between as well.
I love that. And I was just thinking, like, for me, actually, growing up, because I had horses growing up, so I was actually always aware and in touch with the seasons, because I had to be, because
Yes.
obviously being in nature, like being outside with them and having to, support them through the season. So actually, when I think back on it, it's always been a part of me.
Yeah.
I just didn't really know it until more recently, I suppose. And it was coming back into connection, like you said at the beginning, like coming back into connection with my body, that brought me in connection with the seasons, because I realized how inherently linked and connected they are, and to notice that in myself, and to see my inner seasons. Like, for me, it's just such a beautiful way of witnessing myself, to witness my inner seasons, to witness the outer seasons, the bigger seasons, like of our life, the seasons of motherhood, like to see all of that. I've been thinking a lot about the seasons within matrescence at the moment, because I've like witnessed this again. Obviously, with my first, I was aware of the transformations happening, and I'd done quite a lot of inner work, I suppose, before I had her, but the word matrescence was not
No.
like something I'd come across. Whereas I did a lot of studying and training and worked with Jessie Harold before I had Vesper, so I had that knowledge. And actually, to witness my matrescence this time and the seasons within that has been really interesting, because there is cycles, and it's like that, that fourth trimester postpartum, like really early postpartum season, but then there's those emerging and then back in, and with every developmental phase, and
Yeah.
there's just so many seasons within the seasons, and
Absolutely. Everything is a season, I think.
everything is a season.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So one of the things I really want to talk to you about is writing and Substack, because
Yes.
we have so many threads in common that we've
Do.
discovered along our journey. And I think we found each other.
Yeah.
And both of us coming up to our year, and well, actually, I've just
Yes,
hit
you've
my
just had
year
yours.
anniversary on
Yes.
Substack, and I think you're coming up to
Congratulations.
yours.
Yeah, mid-April, I think it is. Yeah.
April.
Yes.
I find it really interesting how we've like come together through our writing, and I'd love to hear your journey back, or journey to creating your Substack, like stepping out into this creative world with story and thread, with what you're bringing to, you know, these beautiful, the seasonal pieces that you're writing, all of the, like, the connection to home, like there's so many beautiful threads in your Substack. But I'd really like to hear your journey to coming back to writing there.
Yes. Yeah, sure. Well, I set up a blog a few years ago now. When was that? Probably 2016-ish. I think it was just after I had done a very kind of transformative yoga teacher training. And that was alongside my full-time job in PR, which was in interiors, design mainly. So I found this kind of, I had this slight epiphany moment within the teacher training where my teachers, Leila Sadaji and Bridget Luff, were talking about creating sacred space and how important that was, you know, as a daily ritual, just within our lives, for kind of finding a place to come back to ourselves and just kind of having that reverence for our space. And that kind of also seemed to feed in a lot with everything I was doing in terms of interiors and working with these amazing kind of interior designers and architects who felt so strongly about, you know, the way that spaces were created. And there was so much intention behind that. So it sort of brought everything together. And I started writing mainly about astrology and how that plays out in terms of the qualities for each zodiac sign and how that would manifest as an interior. It was a little bit kind of slightly out there, but it kind of made sense to me as well. And I in a way would quite like to revisit that. And then also how everything is underpinned by the elements. And so in terms of our zodiac signs, you know, there's obviously the earth signs, fire signs, air signs and water signs, and they feed into everything. I mean, in some ways feel kind of out there as well, but also underpin everything that we do and everything throughout history. So explored a lot of that, and then just kind of goddess and mythology, things like that, and also bringing history and stuff into it as well. I did a history degree, so just bringing all my interests together basically. And then I had a baby and I stopped writing. I just could not find the time. Well, I think I did continue a little bit to begin with when she was sleeping. I mean, she was always in a sling, so on me, and I was bouncing on a ball and I'd try and write and things like that, or I'd be lying next to her in the early evenings, and would manage to do a few things. And then it just got to a point where it was just a bit too much, and I felt like I needed to just, you know, not have that kind of extra thing. And when I had any space, just to kind of really have that downtime. And then it got to, yeah, so it must have been this time last year, as you were setting up yours, that I had this space on a Saturday afternoon where, I don't know how this actually happened, but my son was happy to depart from me for an hour or so. And I think he must have been, I think he must have gone with my daughter and my husband, and they were together. And I had this hour or two to go to a cafe, and I just thought, I'm going to take my laptop. And I just kind of wrote down everything that I was passionate about. And that had shifted more, obviously, with motherhood and the seasons, but still with a lot of kind of everything that I had been thinking about before. Also, we had moved into a home, our home, within that time. So that's obviously also kind of part of it too. So yeah, just kind of had that this time and kind of what I dreamed of, what I wanted to write about, creating seasonal gatherings as well, which is becoming a reality, which I'm sure we'll come on to. And yeah, I'm just really feeling excited about it again. So I had been reading a couple of things on Substack in that time. I've followed the journalist Alice Vincent, who had moved her newsletter to Substack. So I was sort of aware of Substack just as a reader of a couple of things or something else as well. I can't remember. So I was aware of it, and then just thought, I had this very loose intention at the beginning of last year to set up a Substack by the end of the year. That was kind of all I had thought about. And then I just thought, I'm going to do it. If I wait till I have everything in place, then it might not happen. So I just gradually sort of migrated the articles that I would have put onto my website and blog onto Substack, and just found it was so much easier. And also, very gradually, I was kind of finding connection with people. And, you know, it happens gradually, I think, but people find your writing, and Substack obviously has this brilliant way of creating community with comments and all the different things. And then notes started up as well quite soon after I started writing. And it was just amazing to have words actually being read and responded to. And I think, obviously, you know, I write because I think you do too, to process and kind of, you know, note down this fragment of our lives at the moment. But it was just wonderful to kind of be seen and for people to recognize what you're writing. But also, I think that helped me to make more sense of myself as well, and ideas that would maybe come up in a comment would then spark off another idea in my mind. And yeah, I've just been really kind of amazed by the community, and it's become quite a big part of my life, really, actually. So I would never have, this time last year, never have even seen what it could be. And it's just been a really, really nourishing experience so far, of creating this community of people, and knowing that, you know, they support me and I support them, and you know, yeah, it feels really like a really nice place to spend time.
It is. I feel all of that, and I love, yeah, I was very similar in that I'd been reading a few things and it'd been in my radar, and I was like, oh, I can't do another thing. And then I just sat down one afternoon with Vesper in the sling. She was asleep. It was back in the, you know, times where she'd sleep for 2 hours in the sling on me. And I just thought, I'm just going to just do it. And it had no expectation, and it's totally blown away my expectations, to be honest. And I think the most beautiful thing to come out of it has been this connection and collaboration with others. And that's been really healing. I mean, we've just come off of the back of the International Women's Day Daisy Chain Thread that we were part of, and to see so many women like really wanting to heal those wounds and the hurts and that sense of competition between women, and start to actually bring more collaboration to the forefront. And I could never have imagined that it would have been so deeply healing for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to see women kind of taking up space, and I think that also is very healing, I think, for me too. It's just, you know, just doing it and you know, having our words out there. And that I found with the Daisy Chain was really powerful, just this kind of impetus, you know, individually for people to reclaim that space and to share their stories, and that real kind of emphasis on gathering together as well. And it just seems that everyone kind of was thinking that, and it's quite amazing how much crossover there is in the writing that came out of that. I think it must be because that is the kind of ancient way of being that we kind of still hold within us, is this way of coming together and sharing and supporting each other and creating together. So it's quite amazing and very powerful, I think.
And I don't know about you, but before I joined Substack, I felt like a bit of a bit not an outsider, that's not quite the right word, but I always felt like the way I was doing life was slightly didn't fit into a conventional norm. So I wasn't full time working. I wasn't a full time stay at home mum. I was like in between. Like I work two, I now currently at the time I had didn't do this, but I now have 2 full days where I have both girls in childcare and 1 half day, which I get my mother-in-law has Vespa. And I hadn't seen many models of people doing like running a business or creating around the edges of motherhood. I like doing the two, if that makes sense. And it wasn't until I came to subs and I always felt like I feel like you need to, not that you need to see people to give yourself permission, but sometimes it you can feel a bit lonely thinking like, how do I do this? Like, is anyone else out there doing this? And when I came to Substack, I found so many other women doing the same. Like, as I think, lots of people talk about writing around the edges. And I love that phrase because it does sum it up. Like, most of my pieces are written in notes on my phone as a starting point in, maybe an early morning wake where Vespa might fall back to sleep on me, but I can't do anything because she's on me, or, sitting while she's fallen asleep in the chair at night and writing a few notes. Because obviously, when you sit down, you suddenly the inspiration arises. But yeah, that was one of the things I loved about finding myself in Substack, is that I suddenly had this amazing community of women who were all doing things their way. It didn't look exactly the same as my way, but it just showed, gave me such inspiration and hope that there is a way of actually bringing, not that we can do it all. I'm not saying that we should be doing it all. I'm just saying that it was really, it really helped me to see the many different ways that people are weaving creativity alongside motherhood and being okay with that.
Absolutely. I think it's very affirming, isn't it? Because I think, in society, it's kind of black and white. It's whether you go back to work full time or as, as much or as little as you can, or you're a stay-at-home mum. And there's such a kind of lack of value placed on that, which I find really hard. And I find it quite difficult to explain when people ask me what I'm doing, because I feel like I'm consumed 100% of the time, whether it's with children and nurturing them and doing a really important job to do that, or within my creativity. And there is no time that I'm doing nothing where but it's very hard to, both things are quite unseen, and I think that's quite hard to explain, put words to. And I think you're right that I was so kind of surprised really early on that there's this huge community of creative mothers, or mothers doing things creatively, and that just aren't really kind of visible in society, I don't think. And even within, my local kind of community and friends and friendship groups, it's I don't know, it's quite difficult, as I've just kind of said, it's all very unseen, so it's quite difficult to pinpoint where that is happening, but it is. And it was, yeah, really, really affirming to find so many kind of like-minded, or very different people, but doing similar things and dancing with it all, and kind of, as you say, not doing it all, but finding their own way. And yeah, I think it's an evolving thing. So yeah, I've loved that as well about Substack and finding that.
And I've also loved that it has created a partnership between us.
Yes. Yes.
And I feel like we need to talk about the
Yes.
birth of our whatever it is.
Yes.
The intention, the space, that the offerings we're creating, which are very much at their in their infancy. These are our next this is our next babies to nurture. This platform, Substack, has led us together to, we had some conversation through comments, and then I think it skipped to maybe a Zoom chat, and then it moved to a WhatsApp chat, and now we pretty much speak every day. And yeah, Lindsay, you introduce us to
Let me think how, yeah, well, you've kind of talked to how it evolved, and it was just kind of amazing, I think, very early on to notice how many kind of synchronicities there were within the way that we kind of thought, but also our experiences and where we were at in our mothering journeys, but also our backgrounds in kind of communication in some way, but with a visual aspect and storytelling aspect to it. Mine being in PR and yours in branding and design. And yeah, I feel like just kind of it was very natural, don't you? And I think that also we both were very much keen to bring this gathering aspect together because it's wonderful connecting online, and I know that you've had also recent experience of gathering again in person, and how powerful that can be. And I think, yeah, just kind of having this community of people that we value so much and speak to a lot, it felt like a natural thing to want to create a space for bringing people together, and also within that to create the kind of theme and I think very much needed space to hold people's stories, which is the kind of melding of our two publications together. So yeah, as you were saying, with kind of International Women's Day and the Daisy Chain as well, people reclaiming their stories and telling their stories, I think is just so very needed. And we do have the experience from our careers in nurturing and guiding people's stories and bringing that out. But also, I think with a seasonal aspect as well. And for our first gathering, which is going to be in April, it will be very much kind of bringing out stories in a seasonal way. So kind of looking to the season, to where we're at, and you know, that kind of gentle emergence in spring, as both of us have said, we don't find it necessarily the easiest transition. So yeah, kind of going inward and really kind of celebrating where we're at within the season and bringing out our stories together as well. Yeah, and I think hopefully there's lots of kind of potential for other things too within holding stories.
Yeah, I love that. I think, and I guess wanted to add just that the a bit like mothering, I feel like creativity and living a creative life can feel quite isolating and quite lonely at times, especially now like online, because so much of, Substack is obviously online, and that's amazing that we have this space to write and connect with so many people. But actually, there is such magic, and as you say, I was reminded of this over the weekend and more recently coming back to a few more in-person offerings, which is really the first time properly since COVID. It brings a whole different energy and no sense of nourishment, I think, to the soul to be in person with kindred spirits and, to be able to bring people together that are creating and building community, and like all those same sort of stories align, and to be able to sit in person and actually feel the energy of what that brings is just, to me, it just really excites me, and
Yeah,
yeah, gives me
absolutely.
hope, I think. A lot of
Yes,
hope.
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that is really what this season is about, isn't it?
It
For
is. It is
sure.
indeed. It
Yeah.
is. So
Thank
yeah,
you.
we will obviously share all of the details
Yes.
of Holding Stories, which is our first event, which is in London on the 20th of April at Fire and Alchemy in Shoreditch. But then there is more to come for sure, but we are letting this the essence of Holding Stories guide us very much, which is how we both work in terms of our creations. So we will see what unfolds, and I'm really, yeah, again, I have a lot of hope around what that might bring. and where it might take us. And as we both start birthed our Substacks a year ago and had no expectation, just imagine what could be created between now and this time next year. It's just,
Absolutely. Let's do
that's the magic, isn't
another chat.
it?
I'm sure we'll chat a million times before then,
Yeah, we'll have to revisit
catch
this
up.
chat.
Yes,
Yeah,
exactly.
we'll have to bring back unraveling.
Yes.
This has been so rich and nourishing, and I'm really grateful for you being my first guest on
Thank
this
you for having me.
latest season of Unraveling. It's been really beautiful. We could talk for hours, I'm sure, and as we do, but for now, let's continue unraveling. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Oh, I just forgot to ask,
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'm a bit out of practice
Oh,
this.
yes.
How can people connect with you?
Oh, okay. Yes. So on Substack, I am Story and Thread. And I think that's probably just the easiest way to, you'd probably just need to search. And then the same on Instagram. It's at Story and Thread with an underscore at the end. They're probably the best ways to contact me.
Amazing. And I would thoroughly encourage people to tune into Lindsay's beautiful, like sacred, every writing, every piece that you share, every image has such a thread of, yeah, sacredness and ritual and just beauty woven into it. So I really feel like you bring a certain magic to the world, and I'm so grateful that we have connected.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Unraveling. I'm your host, Lauren Barber, and it has been a pleasure and a joy and an honor to hold space for you in this episode as you've listened. If you would like to explore more of my creations on this earth, then you can visit my website, laurentbarber.co, to see all of my offerings and find out what gatherings and group journeys are coming up. And if you would like to read more of my words and listen to the podcast, you can find everything over on Substack, and that is Held by Lauren Barber. All the links will be in the show notes, but if you search Held by Lauren Barber in Substack, you should find me there. You can also connect with me on Instagram at Lauren Sarah Barber. I am so grateful for you for sharing this space. I just want to take a moment just to pause before you continue your day and take a breath. Thank you for sharing this with me. I hope you have a beautiful continuation of your own unraveling journey, and I will see you next time.